Hello and welcome to our latest episode of Eagle Eyed View. My name is Robert Warlow. I'm joined today by digital writer Mark Ritson. Hi Mark.
Hello.
And we'll review Crystal Palace's 3-2 home defeat against Manchester United. It was a real sickener, wasn't it, Mark, for Palace, having led 2-0. Great start to the game, Andros Townsend obviously scoring, and then Patrick Van Aanholt in the second half, putting them ahead, 2-0 ahead, to then lose the game from there. I think it's just heartbreaking for them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It was just such a battling, such a, you know, back-to-the-wall performance, and wow, you know, going 2-0 up against Manchester United, who would have thought that after everything, you know, with all the injuries and you know, problems like that down at the bottom of the table. We thought it was going to be another famous night under the lights, and it was just, you know, the way they got a goal back, it was a bit of a soft one. It got their tails up naturally, and got it back to 2-2, and you just felt that a bit of that quality was going to nick it for United, as we saw against Tottenham the week before, and boy, it was quality. Nemanja Matic, I mean, let's not take anything away from the strike. It was just a wonderful, wonderful hit. Wayne Hennessy, not just Wayne Hennessy, any goalkeeper would not have saved it. But for Palace, it was just not deserved. They deserved a point at the least. And now obviously going to Chelsea on Saturday is not obviously ideal. But they've got to try and dig it in and put it in again for another 90 minutes and hopefully get something.
I think it was just the way, the manner of the defeat, wasn't it? Because people coming into this game probably wouldn't have been thinking, oh yeah, we'll get something against United. I mean, Palace have a terrible record against United in the league, don't they? I mean, 17 games and counting towards today. Obviously it's now 18 with this one in the Premier League. I mean, they just don't have much luck against United.
No, it's well, they just haven't really, have they? And we all thought it could be another famous night, as I just said. They have beaten big teams before at Selhurst Park, and it really did look like it was going to be, but as you said, it was they haven't beaten United in the Premier League, and the players, you know, they may have seen that stat before the game. It might have been in their minds, but as you said, Rob, I just don't know how they've got to try and pick themselves up somehow. I mean, they put everything into that game tonight. They really did. And you know, and the fans knew that they you know, they clapped them off. They could see there was 110% from every single player, and now they're going to, you know, reflect on it for 24 hours. And you know, as we see, from, you know, professional footballers, they'll get it out of their system. They need to go again for Chelsea.
In a way, do you think it's probably good that it's Chelsea at the weekend rather than it being one of these pressure games that they could be facing in the next few weeks? Because, you know, they're not going to be expected to go to Chelsea. I know they have done the last 2 years and win, but they're not going to be expected to. They're still probably not going to have Wilfried Zaha. I mean, you wouldn't expect them to. They wouldn't be favourites against Chelsea, and it's one of those games where if they get something, it's a bonus.
Yeah, I can see what you mean there. I mean, playing Chelsea, it's well, we know how tough it's going to be, but I know what you mean. After a demoralising defeat, you know, the way, the manner of the defeat against United and Spurs, if they were to go and play a lesser team on paper, you know, would they be in the right frame of mind? But then again, Chelsea on Saturday, is it damage limitation? Just try and make sure that, you know, there's not many goals against. It is a tough one, but I think they just got to try and get through this game against Chelsea. Try and pick something up. And hopefully luck is on their side before a massive, massive game at Huddersfield, which for me, they've got to win. They've got to win at Huddersfield now, because if they do lose against Chelsea, then of course they've got the international break before Liverpool. But of course, you look at it like this way, that if they beat Huddersfield, they'll want a game straight away. But no, it's an international break. So they've just got to try and come away from Stamford Bridge with something, but they've got to win. They've got to go and get something at Huddersfield, definitely, for sure, before Liverpool at the end of this month.
The problem is, if they don't get anything at Chelsea, it becomes almost a must win at Huddersfield, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I agree.
And you know, people are saying, yes, that on paper, beyond Liverpool, the last six games are more favourable, and that's true on paper they are, but I mean, how many times do we hear a manager say football's not played on paper? It's, you know, those cliches come out, but at the same time, Palace don't really want to have to be going to those six games knowing they need four wins to stay up.
Yeah, true. And again, you look at the remaining, you know, next couple of games or three games, you'd say actually out of all the big guns, Liverpool's the one you don't want to face. Mm. They are just, you know, they're on fire. Obviously, we've got another 3 weeks before that game, but you're right, they don't want to go into it. But then again, on paper, they're favourable. They are favourable games on paper. There's also the big game with Brighton.
And I think
they're going to be okay. I really do, because they got two players back against United. They got Kelly and Schlupp. It did make a difference in terms of their shape, and you know they offered more of a threat out wide. But Schlupp, he created the goal for Van Aanholt as well, and obviously Kelly is very, you know, he's very organised and reliable. He formed a good partnership with Tompkins. So, you know, they got Wilfred to come back, they've got Mamadou to come back, and they've got Kabay hopefully to come back. They're probably the next three, if you like, to return from injury at a really good time, because, you know, they'll come back into the team, get some form, and then they're ready to go for the last six games. And I think they're going to be okay.
I think they showed enough today, didn't they, in terms of spirit, in terms of determination.
Massively.
And,
yes.
And like you said, having more of a threat. I mean, they obviously had, there's a bit of a change of formation from the way, you know, change of setup from the way they played against Tottenham. Against Tottenham, it was very much a containing sort of game, wasn't it? And trying to stifle Tottenham, not letting them have many opportunities. Whereas today, they tried to get on the front foot early on, and playing 4-4-2 with Schlupp in there on the left-hand side with Van Aanholt, Sirlot and Benteke up top, they did have more of an attacking impetus, I thought.
No, I agree. Yeah, you're right. Spurs, it was just very just try and stop them, and there was a gritty, hard fought performance in there, and they were just undone by you know the red hot Harry Kane. But United, they gave United a game tonight. United knew they were in a game, and they attacked them. But you're right, Schlupp on the left, you know, who can play out wide. And Townsend, they were both threats. You know, MacArthur and Luca in the middle, they were never really going to get forward tonight. They were always going to be holding, trying to protect that back four, and just have the likes of Townsend and Schlupp to get forward. And obviously, you know, Sorloth as well. We saw him out wide for the first two games. Played as a striker tonight. Okay, didn't have too many chances. I can think of two in particular, but you could see his qualities in a more central striking position with Benteke. You know, he holds the ball up well. I think he'll get better as games go. He's getting used to the Premier League. They did look a lot better. But in terms of going to Chelsea, you know, dare you do that at Stamford Bridge? Yes, they did it last season, but that's when they had Wilfred Zaha, who was on form.
I think they took Chelsea a bit by surprise last year.
Yeah, there was that.
You know, especially having come from a goal down as well, because they went behind early on, and the form Chelsea were in, I think everybody expected them to, you know, coast the victory from 4th, 5th minute on, wasn't it, when Fabregas scored. But then obviously it was two goals quickly from Palace, and I think it was 2-1 after 11 or 12 minutes, wasn't it? So, you know, they did kind of catch some cold a little bit there, and maybe they could do the same, you know.
Maybe they could, yeah. No, they could. I mean, as you pointed out just now about the character and the determination. If they can do that at Stamford Bridge and get a bit of luck, then why not? Then why not? But Chelsea will be red hot favourites at home. They've slightly fallen away a bit, Chelsea. Yeah. There'll be a bit of pressure on them in terms of their position. You know, they need to try and get back up to fourth place. They'll be looking to, you know, make sure this is 3 points for them on Saturday. So,
I think there were positive signs, you know, with Sirlot and Benteke as a two, that may not bode well. For, you know, may not see the same thing on Saturday, but in the games beyond that, I think that the signs were there that could be a good partnership.
No, I agree. They're two big men. They can ruffle the a defence up from the opposition. They can try and bully them, if you like. They've both got the height, and you know, Schlupp and Townsend got some deliveries in the box, and obviously when Wilf comes back, we know what he's about. So as long as they can try and feed those two, that is the key, especially in the air. We know Benteke had a header. What a save from De Gea.
It was.
Absolutely superb save, clawed off the line. We know that's what he can do. And, you know, a word on Benteke. I thought he worked his socks off. I really did.
Yeah. I thought he was good. He unsettled the United defence. You know, his physical presence. I thought he did put himself about a bit more tonight.
It was just so much better from him. Mm. We've seen some laboured performances from him at times. And, you know, really, is he earning his wage at all? And but tonight, he really... I mean, that's what we all want to see. That's what the fans want to see. It was a much better all-round performance from Christian Benteke. And, boy, they need him to do that for the, you know, the next... remaining, what is it, 9-10 games. So I think it's a good partnership. They're both two big men, but like anyone they need the service. So
and another good performance tonight was Aaron Wan-Bissaka again,
outstanding. Outstanding. Just he got my man of the match, a 9 out of 10. You've got to do something really special to get a 10. No, 9 out of 10, absolutely brilliant. It's as if he's been playing there for, you know, the whole season, if you like. He's just stepped right in, and not against a lesser team.
No,
lesser teams. Coming in to make your Premier League debut at 20 years old against Tottenham and then Manchester United, but perform the way he has is just remarkable. You know, we spoke to him after the Tottenham game, and yeah, he was more of a winger for the academy and for the development team, but he's also played at right back. But he gave us the impression that no, the right back is his position now moving forward. I thought perhaps he might have been a bit lightweight, but no, absolutely not at all. He positioning, passing. There was a superb tackle in the second half as well, which you know, to have
Rashford,
that, yeah, to have that confidence as a youngster inside the box, you know, at 2-2, was just, you know, outstanding. So
and he got forward as well.
Yeah, he got forward. He nearly scored a, you know, nearly caught the hair out into the top corner. You know, the keeper had to tip it over. But I mean, his, you say he's guaranteed starter at Chelsea on Saturday. No doubt about it. Is, I mean, he's just been a massive, massive plus point in the next, you know, the last two games. And well done to him. It's great for the club, great for the academy, and it's what we've all been longing to see. Finally, you know, an academy player breaking into the first team. And looking to stay there now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was no Tim Fosu-Mensah tonight, who was ineligible to face Man United.
Yeah,
but, I mean, does he come back in on Saturday? You know, the Kelly and Tompkins, as you said, they've got a fairly strong partnership there in the middle, and you can't really drop Wan-Bissaka on the basis of those two performances.
You can't. Don't get me wrong. You know, Fosu-Mensah's been playing well, but I just think Kelly and Tompkins are. They're like a solid, reliable partnership, yeah. If you like. Okay, United got their goals tonight, but they've got that experience, haven't they? They've got a little bit more experience. And I think if he was to bring Fosu-Mensah right back instead of Wan-Bissaka, I think that'd be extremely harsh on the youngster after the next two games. The guys, you know, the confidence is oozing through him right now. He cannot wait to play the next game. And as I said just now, Wan-Bissaka's got to be a starter on Saturday. It would be so harsh to drop him just to bring in Fosu-Mensah. And I think Kelly and Tompkins should continue for me at centre back.
Obviously, looking ahead to Chelsea, I mean, as we've already said, that they have been there one in the past, but given the players that who are out and given the situation, you know, after such a cruel defeat, it is going to be difficult, isn't it?
Okay, I know they won their last season, but it's still a big club that they've got to face against world-class players. And as I mentioned, Chelsea have got their own, you know, season to sort out. They need to try and get Champions League. Mm-hmm. They're a few points behind fourth position right now. And they'll know that a game at home against Crystal Palace, a team fighting for relegation, is an ideal opportunity to try and, you know, get points back on the board. I just think Palace, like I said before, just need to try and damage limitation, try and keep them at bay for as long as possible, and nick something. That's all you can do with the situation they're in, the injuries they're facing, and then, like I said, if you can take any positives. But you can take a positive from the Manchester United game with the way they performed. If they can do that against Chelsea, then they can take that to Huddersfield, you know, and then hopefully they've got the the quality over Huddersfield to you know, nick something. I think any Palace fan would take a 1-0 win off a player's backside win at Huddersfield just to get 3 points and then, you know, pick up the morale again. So
right, you said that. I mean, there are positives that, you know, they scored the first goal straight from play tonight without Wilfred Zaha this season in the Premier League. That's a perhaps a surprising stat for some people that they hadn't until now, but you know, I think everyone's well aware of the fact they haven't won a game, you know, without Wilfred in the team this year, but hopefully he'll be back soon. He's certainly stepping up the recovery, isn't he?
He was on the ball, wasn't there? He was there was a video of him running with the ball the other day. But I think that he obviously definitely misses Saturday at Chelsea. I think Huddersfield will be touch and go.
I think it depends on perhaps how he is. But would you risk him before an international break, or do you give him an extra couple of weeks to be, you know, fully fit for the last seven games? I think it's, you've got to weigh it up whether it's a risk worth taking. Because yes, it could be a pressure game that Palace needs to try and win, but you don't want to risk him.
Obviously, the player will have his opinion, but obviously,
he'll be itching to get out there. We know how much the club means to Wilfred Zaha.
That's the other side of it as well. We know how much this has been a personal mission for him this season to save the club. He's admitted that as well. It'll be up to the doctors, the physios, if they say to Roy that it might be worth giving him an extra week's rest. Roy will do that.
Yeah,
he will. I mean, I know Wilf will be itching to get back out there. But it's just not worth one game, if you like. I know, obviously, one game could prove to be the difference in the end, but...
But you don't want him to miss the last six games.
You don't want him to miss the last six games. He could be the difference, in the last several games. So, we'll see. I think we'll just, obviously, you'll be at the press conference this week on Thursday or Friday, and you can... find out from Roy what the latest is, but I don't think he won't be involved in Chelsea. But it might be a wise decision just to wait, pick up his fitness in the international break, fully get over the injury, and come back for the Liverpool game.
So how do you see it? Palace obviously in the bottom three going into Chelsea at the weekend. They're a point away from Southampton, who are just outside the relegation zone. 3 points away from, you know, a few teams that are on 30 points. Do you think Palace will stay up?
Yeah, no, I do. I've said this for the last 2 weeks. I know we did a prediction piece, you and I and a few of our other reporters in our media group, and I do think other teams have got worse run-ins. I really do. I know Brighton, for example, they've done really well in the last couple of games, but you look at their running on paper, okay, they beat Arsenal, but I think they've got the likes of Chelsea, City, United, Liverpool all to play, and I mean, that's just a ridiculous running for them. And I did predict Brighton to go down. I think they might come unstuck a little bit with those games. I think Huddersfield are going to go down, and obviously West Brom are in big trouble. They do have favourable games on paper.
But they haven't taken advantage of
that. And Stoke City, I think Palace have got a better running than the teams around them. I really do. And I just think with the injuries coming back and Wilfred coming back, I think they will claw results together. I think the Brighton game on the 14th of April as well could be a big turning point, if you like. They've got Bournemouth before that. But... that could be a big catalyst, if you like, just to give them that extra boost for the run-in. So I think Palace will stay up.
Yeah, I'd still do myself. I mean, in the predictions piece that you're talking about there, admittedly, that was 2 weeks ago, I had Brighton to go down then, and I think I've probably changed my mind a little bit on that, because I didn't have them to beat Swansea and Arsenal. I think I had them down for maybe a point in both, so they've already picked up more points than I expected, and I think that would probably, with one or two wins more now, I think that will probably see them safe. But yes, I agree they've got a tough run in still, but I think they've still got Huddersfield at home and possibly Newcastle away, and you think that if they could get some points there, that they could, you know, they should keep it, have enough. I do think Palace will just about be alright. I think it might come down to the last day still. I don't think it's going
to
be...
I was going to say, go down to the last day. Do you think it's going to go down to goal difference?
Yeah, it could do. Yeah, it could well do, yeah. I mean,
you mentioned as well that out of all the clubs down there, Southampton have got the better.
They got the best goal difference.
Best goal difference.
But they're not winning games. That's the problem. I mean, they've only won 5 games out of 29 all season, and you're looking at it. And yes, they're a point above Palace at the moment, and they're I think six goals better off now. But you do, in terms of goal difference, but you do look at it and think, well, if Palace can get a win, Southampton haven't been winning games. You know,
Southampton got like 6 away games as well.
They got 6 away games between now and the end of the season out of the 9. And of their 3 home games, they've got Chelsea, Bournemouth and Man City.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a tough run in. And yes, they've got a couple of the teams around them. They've got Newcastle at the weekend, which is a big game. Newcastle versus Southampton at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Mm.
I mean, that's, you know, 2 teams just outside the relegation zone. Obviously, someone's got to pick up points.
Someone's got to pick up, yeah.
So, Palace's position is probably going to be a little bit worse by the time they kick off at Stamford Bridge on Saturday. But, you know, Roy's been pragmatic about that. He said that he knows with the fixtures they've got at the moment that they're...
That it's likely, isn't it? They're going to be in a relegation zone for maybe a week or two.
And he says, you know, they can't be fazed by that. They've got to just accept that that might be the case. And then when the more favourable fixtures come round...
They'll climb out.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is that if they don't pick up something soon, those games are going to become must wins, and the pressure that falls on those games then, you know, it's how they handle that. Because if they go to Huddersfield and they need a point, then you think, okay, they could, you know, that's all right, you might be able to nick a point there. But if they've got to go there and win just to keep in touch and distance with, you know, teams above them, then
I don't think a point's enough.
No, maybe not. But then if they get something, you know, it might be viewed as a bonus at the moment, but if they get something at Chelsea or against Liverpool, then all of a sudden it just takes a little bit of weight off the shoulders when you come into those, you know, games beyond Liverpool, like Bournemouth, like Brighton, Watford, Leicester, Stoke, West Brom. You know, those are games that I agree on paper Palace should have a chance of getting points from. But you don't... I just fear that if they get to the stage that they have to win all of them, or, you know, a large proportion of them, then with each game that goes past and they don't, just the pressure increases, doesn't it? And it's how you handle it in the bottom, you know, the bottom few teams. There's usually a team that produces, you know, puts a run together who's at the bottom and claws their way out of it. You've got to hope Palace are that team.
No, definitely. Well, you're going to be at the press conference
this week.
It's Thursday or Friday, do we know yet?
I think we're thinking Thursday, but we'll be told, I'm sure, soon.
Yeah, well, of course, you'll be there covering it, and obviously you'll be covered live on the Croydon Advertiser website, as always. So and of course you'll be at Chelsea on Saturday, and I'll be joining you, but from half time.
Yeah.
So I'm covering Queen's Park Rangers for our sister title Get West London at 3 o'clock, and I'm going to go and see a certain Johnny Williams. I'm going to go and see if I can have a little catch up with Johnny. Hopefully he gets some game time with Sunderland, and then I'm going to quickly shoot on the tube down from Shepherd's Bush to Fulham Broadway and join you for half time to help out to post match, and hopefully it's Palace are getting a result, or it's 0-0. So
let's hope so.
So Palace fans, please join Rob on Saturday, and I'll be there from the second 45 onwards.
Thanks for listening.